Hashtag Sunrise. What? Hashtag Jeff Goldblum. Hashtag Emily Livingston. Hashtag Soulmates. Hashtag In It For Life. Hashtag Love.
Oh my God. I hope this lasts too. I hope that it's not like hashtag annulment.
Yeah.
Hashtag I've been had. Hashtag future ex Mrs. Dr. Malcolm.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar and I'm here with my co-host
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
He's like 1,000 years old.
I know.
Poor Jeff Goldblum and me.
Okay.
All right, so do you want to start off with the listener mail?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, cool. So we've got some awesome listener mail, and Katie's going to kick off with it.
Yes. This is an email that we received from GB.
Nice.
Hey, GB. Thank you so much. It says here, Ask E. Jean, seeking commitment from a flighty older man. And she writes to us and says, hello, Jaquetta and Katie. I love your show, and one of my favorite segments is Advice on Advice.
Oh, thank you. It's one of my favorite segments as well.
Yeah, it's Jaquetta's baby.
Yes.
The one that you made
That's right. That was the drug. Hey, what do we do? Advice on Advice.
Yeah, and I was like, brilliant.
Sounds good. And back to the tables.
Yes. She says, I saw this and I had to send it to you. Enjoy.
Okay.
And, GB, you have your shot glass, so thank you very much. We sent that to you.
We're getting good help.
Yes. Ask E. Jean, seeking commitment from a flighty older man. Dear E. Jean, 2 years ago, I fell in love with a legendary superstar.
What?
When he walked into an...
It sounds like a thoroughbred.
When he walked into an exhibition I was having in New York City. He's 20 years older than me, a creative genius, and busier than anyone I've ever known.
Okay.
I see him at best 3 times a month and at worst once a month. So 1 to 3 times a month.
Yeah, 1 to 3 times a month.
He has an army of gorgeous, vivacious models slash celebrities at his beck and call.
Okay. Including you.
Yeah. This has been the cause of conflict in his past marriages. For me...
Is that plural?
Yes.
Okay.
For me, the model issue has been obscured because we share the same artistic ambitions and he inspires me in my work. When I ventured once to define us, he disappeared for 2 months.
Poof.
Should I pack it in? I guess my fear is turning on the news and seeing that he's engaged to someone more special and less difficult than I am.
What's the big deal? You see this dude once a month. Like, who cares?
Yeah, what, or at best 3.
I see my pedicurist more than that.
Right.
We have a deeper relationship.
Right.
Okay.
So, then she tried to define him, and he took off.
She was like, what are we doing? Poof.
Yeah, he's gone.
There's just like a silk handkerchief on the ground before you. Nothing else. And the scent of Halston for men.
So he's 20 years older, a creative genius, and busier than anyone she's ever known.
Okay.
Like, everyone's busy.
Was it 20 years older? Like, if she's 20 and he's 40... If she's 40 and he's 60,
different.
Yeah, it's different. So, okay.
Right. She signed it almost famous.
Okay.
So it's like not about you.
Not famous at all. Actually.
Yeah.
But it's almost famous. Okay. I almost know who you are, but I'm not sure.
So E. Jean writes back, almost, my love. Unfortunately, the great art of bopping a superstar is no longer being done. What?
E. Jean just doesn't care.
She's like, celebrities are out. Nobody's bopping.
No one's sleeping with celebrities anymore.
Nope.
It's all hand jobs for them at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all Skinamax for them.
It has been replaced by begging a superstar for an introduction to his dealer. So imagine my delight at your letter. In the old days, back in the 20th century, writes E. Jean, I used to telephone young ladies who wrote me about their celebrity love affairs and excitedly inquire who the star was. The most famous turned out to be a guitarist whose album did very well in Japan in 1987.
Okay.
So I'm praying your dude is Lucian Freud, Jeff Koons, or Damien Hirst. But never mind. Forcing him to see you and stopping him from becoming engaged to someone more special is impossible. You can't control what he does any more than Frida Kahlo can control Diego Rivera.
Well, that's true. Which is not at all.
You're right. Thus, you may do anything you like with the old codger. Love him, leave him, paint his buttocks green. You're an artist. You're supposed to be difficult.
Okay. Here's one thing I never understand, and maybe you're on the same page with this. I don't chase dudes.
No.
I never have, and I never will, and I don't care. There's too many people out there, and it's just not that important. You know what? Whatever happened to just using a person for what you get out of them for the moment? This guy is rich and famous and well connected. Get what you can.
Right. You don't have to. You don't have to cage him in a cage.
Yes, you can. You could. But also, too, you can't compete with, like, some vapid model.
Yeah, and if he's not going to be a commitment-type person, then he's not.
Just get what you can get.
Just go out with him once or three times.
I don't know. The eagle flies with a dove. That's my advice on that one.
Right, exactly. But, Eugene, first of all, you're getting caught up in who the guy is. It doesn't matter.
Eugene has it. She's like, I want to start off with this. I don't care what the appeal is for.
Right.
So
and then
bizarre.
She has to bring it back to 1987.
Back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s, a band that did very well in Japan. Who would that be?
I'm
thinking it's a hair band. First off. So Eugene is like...
Because it's the 80s.
Yeah, a hair metal.
So it's a band that did well in Japan, but not here? Is that the...
Yeah. That's what she's talking about
back in her day,
in the circle she ran in.
I can't think of anything more obnoxious than a celebrity right now. Yeah. I know you're not into them either. I don't care if I go somewhere and I see a celebrity. I'm not interested. I don't want to be there. Who cares?
Yeah, I think it's funny. It's like, hey, look, it's that person, and then it's over.
And then it's back to what they have something for me,
right?
Like, unless they're gonna pay my rent. Or do something nice for me. Just get out of my way. Don't care.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, you're not deferring to them.
I'm interested when I go to see them entertain me.
Yeah.
When they're not entertaining me, I could care less. Okay. I wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're of no consequence to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, you can't control anybody. Anybody.
Yeah.
Not even this guy. And he's 20 years older. I mean, it's like, great.
Yeah, just wait. Pretty soon he'll be looking at the wrong side of 40.
Yeah,
60.
Right.
And he'll be wishing.
Yeah, that he saw you four times.
That his buttocks had been painted
green.
The aforementioned green. So, Eugene doesn't care anymore.
She doesn't care, Eugene.
I'm awaiting her next, and they'd be like, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah.
Make up your own mind.
Glug.
What do you want from me? Yeah.
All right, so thank you very much, GD. This was awesome.
Thank you, GD. Yeah. Eugene is just really... Is she still in print? Are these old things?
Yeah,
it's like circulating.
No, that's all she's doing, Eugene.
I'm going to do my own advice. I'm going to go, be Jean. just an alternative.
Eugene.
So I have here, I'm gonna break open penis news.
Nice.
Hashtag penis news. So this is an interesting thing I found. It's news, but it's also kind of infomercial type of situation as well. There's a company called Private Gym LLC, and the private in question is privates.
Private parts. Oh.
They announced Tuesday the release of a new fitness program, which includes a 4-week interactive DVD exercise program, a resource guide, and the first FDA-approved male Kegel training device.
A male Kegel training device. So, now they're your Kegels.
Yes. They're exercises that strengthen the pelvic floor.
Right. And you can also get that done in Pilates if you take Pilates.
Yeah. Or you can just automatic. Like hold in your pee.
Yeah. You hold in your pee for, I think, what they tell you to do it for 10 seconds. And then you do 10 reps. And you do that 3 times a day.
And this is supposed to be...
By Katie Kazmir.
Yeah, by Katie Kazmir. Copyrighted. So it's supposed to be important after you have children or as you get older.
Yes.
You know, there are other reasons besides sex to have like a strong pelvic floor.
Right.
All right. Like not peeing yourself. All
right. Time. Right. You cough and like as you get older, you have to urinate and sneeze and
you're poised.
So you have to just make the time each day. And nobody can see you do them too.
No.
It's like,
hopefully.
I'm doing
them
right
now.
Like
don't make a face. You hear something like scratch, scratch. It's like, you know what? Aisle two. Keep it down. So this thing is a silicone weighted penis ring, and it works in conjunction with a weighted magnet. So it's a little ring, and then you can attach, like, this is a system. So imagine like a little ring, and then there's a little magnet on the bottom.
Okay,
and you can attach other different weighted magnets, like 2 ounces, 3 ounces.
Oh no!
And it's hypoallergenic, so don't worry, gentlemen. And it's
don't walk by the refrigerator.
Yes. So, basically what you do is you increase the weight on this ring, and you're supposed to use the penis to, you know, lift it as it were, up and down.
All right.
It's supposed to enhance size.
Get out.
and improve the look.
Somebody would have
penis.
Discovered this a long time ago if it really worked. Yes. I think people haven't guys been lifting things with their penis forever.
Yes. So it's supposed to extend and enhance the penis and improve the look, although that's highly subjective. Like
that's one good looking.
I want to say. I want to see a guy just walk by. Good lord,
stunning.
What a fantastic looking penis. Personally, I don't go in for penises myself, but look at that. Who's going to see
exquisite.
It? I want to see before and after. I just want to see a penis that just looked down on his luck, smoking a cigarette, like, by the curb.
Gone to seed.
And then the next day, you know, he's, like, driving a Ferrari, this penis.
Yeah.
He's doing well. He's doffing his head at the ladies. He's at the club.
Yeah.
Everyone loves his penis. So it says that you can, the perks of this, sorry.
Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction. It can mitigate erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation, which happens as the pelvic floor muscles weaken, which happens around their 30s.
Okay.
So this basically, there's another device too. I don't understand this one. Okay. There's Kegel pad.
Kegel pad.
Kegel pad.
What?
There's a pad upon which men are instructed to sit in a manner that makes contact between the perineum and the pad.
Okay.
And the scrotum hangs over the edge of the pad.
I'm doing it right now.
You're an idiot. The Kegels are then performed by sliding on the pad. And it's described as a push-up for the penis. The device is best described as a bar. I mean, then there's another one called the Kegel Mate Trainer, which is a tiny barbell for the penis.
Oh, wait a minute. Does the penis have to lift the body?
I'm just imagining. No. The
like
penis
a lever?
Has to
like,
lift.
Like a fulcrum?
So the guy lays on the floor and he's trying to raise himself. And the penis is trying to lift a small barbell. It sounds like a cartoon to me. I'm just imagining like at the gym, a couple penises. One is like kicking sand in the other penis's face, like making fun of him.
It's
and
like
then a couple weeks later.
Milky white penis.
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
First he's lifting just a small weight. Then by the end, he's like the Rock,
right.
Basically. So yeah, there's a private gym.
I can't believe that they're going to try to sell guys a tiny barbell to put next to their penis.
They're trying to. They're selling it. What are you talking about?
God.
Private gym training program is available for pre-order. You can get it without the device for $59.99.
Oh.
So you can just get a DVD of looking at some guy lift something with his penis.
Okay.
Or for an extra $40, $99.99, you can get the tiny barbells and the video. Isn't it self-explanatory?
Right.
You put the damn thing on your dick and you try to lift it.
Right.
End of story.
Just don't try to do like the gallon of milk on your first go. Like you're trying to, you're like, what do I have around the house?
I'm waiting for the first 911 call. I'm trapped. I can't get my penis out from under this barbell. What in the Sam? I don't know. So that is the penis news. It's just quite, I don't know. It's quite sad. And there's a picture of a guy with his back, you know, to us, and he's got, you know, his pants on, and there's a woman who's like, hooray! Like that ever happens. Here's the device itself.
Yeah.
I think you can probably...
That's a letdown.
You could probably put anything on it
just
and try
anything,
to lift it up.
But,
a teacup. Anything that has a ring.
You just put it on.
Put it on there and lift it up. Don't waste $99.99
on
these people.
And just do a couple of reps.
Says,
hey, you know it.
How long
just
before
take
this video is on the internet? I can't wait. Anyway.
All right.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
We have to talk about Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, no.
And just a special...
I heard there was some sad news.
And a special segment I call A Bouquet of Goldblum.
I'll come up with some music.
Yeah.
A Bouquet of Goldblum.
Basically, we get a tweet.
Okay.
We have two.
I got a Facebook message.
Did you?
Someone said he's off the market. That's all I'm saying.
Profess LCH and Pepper both tweeted us.
Wow.
Saying, you know, how can this be happening? And they sent a link showing that Jeff Goldblum is engaged.
What?
Engaged. Fiance shows off ring in Maui. Yes.
That's Sly Dog.
Yeah, so here's the article. It's that Jeff Goldblum will be making his way down the aisle for a third time.
I bet you he knows the way. Don't tell me how to get to the altar. I think I know how to get there. I've been here a couple times before.
The Portlandia, they're calling him the Portlandia actor.
Really?
Is engaged to...
Okay, I don't like that. He's in a lot of other work. What about The Fly?
I know, right? I did hashtag The Fly Who Loved Me.
I like it. Aw. What about his failed TV show Reigns, where he was a detective?
The actor's engaged to Emily Livingston, an aerialist and actress 30 years his junior. And then, which also Pepper had to say, she is no 31.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm like, all right. She ain't no damn 31. Wow. Exactly is what she said. I laughed so hard. And then, she, you know, we were saying our poor hearts. Anyway.
It's too late for me.
July 8th, he proposed, she wrote, this is Emily, she's writing that, and she shared a picture of her Jurassic Park and Independence Day star hugging her.
That's what I'm talking about. So is she the she is always looking for the next Mrs. Alka, Mrs. What is it? For the next, for the future ex Mrs. Dr. Malcolm?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And so she also, she writes, this is Emily, I was taken over by tears of joy and ecstasy. Not and ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Oh, tears of joy and ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Okay.
Ecstasy. Okay.
It was all that.
Yeah, we picked the ring together. Together.
Hashtag. Why is she tweeting this?
Hashtag in love. All right. She, Livingston showed off.
Hashtag watch your back.
Yeah. Livingston showed off her sparkler when the couple dashed away to Maui to celebrate their engagement.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I wonder when you get to this age, and we'll find out when we get to Jeff Goldblum's age, that people get married, or his contemporaries, like, whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm tired of getting you toasters.
Right.
Not
good.
Going.
Good.
Yeah.
The soon-to-be Mrs. Goldblum posed wearing a black hoodie and held up her hand to highlight the new bling they took in celebrating our engagement. Hashtag sunrise. What? Hashtag Jeff Goldblum. Hashtag Emily Livingston. Hashtag soulmates. Hashtag in it for life. Hashtag love.
Oh my God. I hope this lasts too. I hope that it's not like hashtag annulment.
Yeah.
Hashtag I've been had. Hashtag future ex Mrs. Dr. Malcolm.
Yeah. And so there also there's another photo of them at Spago. Mm. Does everyone go there?
Yeah,
does
I guess it, so.
Still?
Yeah, still. With Jeff Goldblum.
Right. Like, and then there's a picture of them and Goldblum's.
He's been going there since she was born. She was born.
Really? Basically. For those interested in an extreme close-up of her unique bauble, Livingston did not disappoint. They did it. She had a nice close-up picture
hashtag
of the ring.
Classy.
With a K.
Hashtag understated.
Yeah, so Jeff Goldblum, he was married. Then they're saying he was on Glee. He was, you know, he's one of the two gay dads of Rachel Berry.
Okay.
He was wed to an actress, Patricia Gall, from 1980 to 86, and then to Gina Davis from 1991, something.
So he doesn't stay married long.
He needs to be free.
Jeff Goldblum can't be caged.
Can't be caged. And so that's that one. And then...
Oh, no. So is there some follow-up?
This is
the marriage is over.
No, this is something, you know, listeners, Jaquetta and I were each in L.A. for on business.
Yes.
Respective business.
Business.
You know, she had hers, I had mine.
Yes.
Anyway, but we had met for dinner. And somebody at the dinner table mentioned that Jeff Goldblum has a thing that he does Wednesdays. He plays the piano.
Yes, I heard about this.
Yes.
I did not want to go because I hate to be disappointed.
Oh, I wanted to go. I can't believe Wednesday came and went without me knowing this. And so what he does is his band is called the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra.
And swinging.
And they play Wednesdays. If he's in town and he has nothing else to do, he'll get up with this band. And it's at the Rockwell Club in L.A. And so according to Jeff Goldblum... He says, who played Dr. Ian Malcolm in the film, there are lyrics to the Jurassic Park song, theme song.
He doesn't sing them, does he?
He sings them, but the lyrics are, I don't know how it goes, but it's in Jurassic Park, scary in the dark. I'm so scared that I'll be eaten. That's what
does he speak them?
I know he sings them.
Okay.
I spoke them because I don't know how.
Okay. I imagine melody. Doing like a spoken word, like with a bongo type of situation.
No. No, no. He plays the piano. And he fucking plays it. He plays jazz standards.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is his new wife there? How did they meet? I'm like curious about that. She's an aerialist? That's always like sketchy. What does that mean? She took some classes.
That means she could put her legs behind her head. That's what it means.
Hashtag. That's just so weird. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So... Jeff Goldblum has been playing the piano since he was a kid. He's played cocktail lounges before.
Okay.
Plays.
I mean, who would stop him?
No. Why would you?
Yeah.
He's magical.
Yeah. He looks familiar. Let him go.
Yeah.
Let's see what the kid can do.
He gets up and...
That's interesting.
Songs like... what does he play?
played Jesse for me.
Mm-hmm. Basically. And he works the room and asks questions and does trivia. People get up and
say, oh my God, are you kidding?
Right, yeah.
I wish I had known about that.
And nobody works the room like Jeff Goldblum, they say.
Really?
Yeah, because he gets up and he takes photos with everybody if they want them. He talks
to
everybody.
See, now he's just getting old. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's like, give the people what they want. If anybody wants to get a picture with me, good.
Yeah. He says, I consider myself a social lubricant as much as a musician, really.
He's out there getting people laid.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, take note.
Yeah, he does. He works the room. He gets...
Social lubricant.
Yeah. Yeah. So he apparently, he plays the games, talks to the audience, pictures, plays, sings, stuff.
You know, this is probably what he always wanted to do.
Yeah.
A little schmaltzy.
I could...
kind of lounge activity.
Right, maybe he'll end up in Vegas. Maybe he'll end up
The Jeff Goldblum show? Yeah,
I'd go to that.
I would go see that as well.
And the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra.
Who's Mildred Snitzer?
It's his orchestra.
Okay. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, so this is my bouquet of Goldblum.
Thank you for
tweets,
that.
Engagement news and performance news.
That was a beautiful bouquet.
Thank you.
What do I have here? I have some... Okay, so this is not segment-based, but before we had reported on extreme sports.
Okay.
And so when I was on the flight back, they had like... Let me try to open it away from the... It doesn't matter.
I know.
I'll put it over here. On the flight back, they had the, you know, the in-flight magazines, and yeah. I hate to fly, so I'm like, I'll read this boring dribble. So they had like a 12-page spread on new extreme sports. Remember we did a report on zorbing?
Yeah.
Where you can do a gigantic ball and you throw yourself off a mountain and die.
Right.
All right, so there's a new thing
here. A big
plastic
ball.
It's a big plastic ball. This is called wingsuit flying.
What?
So it involves a wingsuit, a parachute, a helmet, and a high place from which to jump, and some faith. Those are the requirements, and it started off as, you know, base jumping, where people, it's a, base is an acronym for building, antenna, span, and earth. So base jumping is basically when you jump off some shit.
Sure.
You're a white guy,
and you're
with a lot of free time.
Testosterone just burn.
And then you jump off something.
Okay.
But this is, you jump off something, and then you fly. It's like a flight suit. You see like a tiny little picture.
Like a bat.
Mm-hmm, like a bat. And then there's also, you wear a helmet, and then there's, also, I guess, for your protection, like a parachute. So it started off in the early 1900s when people made suits of canvas, silk, and wood and whalebone, but they proved to be a bit splatty.
Oh.
Modern wingsuits are durable.
What are they trying to say?
They died.
Yeah.
Durable and lightweight. And they were developed in 1999. So it's just, the guy says, it's just one of those things that you have to try to do. This guy is a base jumper. He has jumped off of the Space Needle.
Oh.
And the Eiffel Tower?
Why?
And also Rio's Christ the Redeemer statue. So he said wingsuit is similar to flying. These are things that I would just never...
No.
So you just jump and then like hope,
mm-hmm.
I guess is the thing that goes on through your head. So that was one of the extreme sports. The other one... What the hell? Why does this keep going to here? Give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my stomach is killing me. Oh, obviously I'll cut that out. The other one is volcano surfing. So basically, you have a snowboard, a jumpsuit, and then you find a volcano. Like, for example,
what?
The Cerro Negro volcano in Nicaragua.
And active?
Yes.
Oh.
And then you surf down the side of it, and you try to avoid sulfur vents and rocks flying at you while you're doing it.
And lava.
And, well, if lava happens, yes, as well. How crazy is that?
That's
so they're just literally surfing down rocks down the side of an active volcano.
Good. Good for you.
Yes, enjoy.
How about how about serving up some common sense with this too?
No, these are things that I would never ever like. I want to know. It's like the first person who milked a cow. You know, like whose idea was this?
Remember, it was like the 90s when extreme sports came to.
Well, these are a mashup of sports. So yeah. These are like trying to come up with other, like taking things that are already extreme.
Yeah.
And then putting them with something else that's extreme and making it even more extreme.
Okay.
I don't know. I find
so. What
it
can
bizarre.
We do here?
Yeah. So that's my extreme.
We could our sport is subway track running relays.
I think that's already happening.
Yeah.
A relay race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So explain how it works.
You basically jump on the subway tracks at rush hour.
Okay.
And hoof it. And you start running with the train coming behind you.
So say I'm at like 96th Street. I'm gonna make a run to like
And try to get down to
79th.
Yeah, 79th. And then I'll be waiting there.
With your hand out.
Yeah. And then you pass the baton.
Oh, I should pass your subway card.
Subway card. Right. And then you dive off to the side, avoiding the third rail.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
And then you run down to, like, what, 59th Street?
Yeah.
Where Carlo is waiting.
Carlo's waiting. Carlo DiCarlo.
And then he runs to 47th
yeah.
Street?
Yeah, we just keep doing it. And that's going to be
until we die. It's pretty extreme.
Yeah. Poor Carlo. Carlo, we just dragged him in today.
I know.
It's like, why?
He seems like he'd be into it.
Yeah.
He likes an extreme
Carlo,
sport.
Oh, by the way, Carlo DiCarlo is our friend who was a guest on a recent
episode. A couple episodes ago, yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote a book called Bear Psychotherapy Stripped. It is co-written by Dr. Jacqueline Gunn. It is a case study book where they talk about a few of her patients and then her inner thoughts.
And it's out now.
It is out now. Again, Bear Psychotherapy Stripped. Go get it. Go read it.
Enjoy. All right. I have a Hey You Didn't Know It.
Okay.
And Greg sent this one. Greg is my husband, who's a lawyer, and he gets a lot of mail that's from the ABA, the American Bar Association, which ironically I am also a member of now.
Are you really?
Just giving out memberships.
All right.
I was like, I'll take one. Mm-hmm. Not a lawyer, but why should that stop me? So it says, man who fell off cliff while drunk can sue those who took him there to watch sunrise.
What?
Court rules. So, long short, a California man fell off a cliff drunk and he wants to sue the two friends who brought him there. A bunch of people were out drinking one night, three people, mm-hmm. and they decided they wanted to go see the sunrise.
Okay.
So, they all went together to a cliff
yeah.
to watch the sunrise, and then the drunken one guy fell off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
The other two people started to look for him because they got freaked out, and then they called 911.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to sue them because they didn't call 911 before they tried to look for him themselves.
Oh, you know what?
They're all drunk.
They're all drunk.
Why is it their fault?
Exactly. You're the one that fell.
Him there. Yes.
And
you're the one that fell.
You're the one that fell. And then
one out of three fell. So
yeah, you're obviously the wink link. The weak link. And also, you fell off a cliff and you lived to talk about it.
And your friends were freaked out, came looking for you.
And they called for help too. They didn't say F it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if we were doing something and you say we're walking along a cliff, let's say.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I know I'm walking by myself.
Mm-hmm.
My first response, sober, drunk, whatever, is going to be to look.
Yeah.
I'm going to call 911, but can I look first? What am I going to call and say?
Lay down and shut your eyes, and then call 911 and wait for them, and then look.
But I'll be damned if I'm going to be calling 911 and not trying to find where you went.
This guy sounds like just a jerk.
He's a
schmuck. First of all, he's a schmuck for getting drunk and walking by a cliff like an idiot. That's his own
fault. They were sitting.
They weren't
even sitting. In our store, we were walking. You fell.
Oh, okay.
We were sober. This guy was drunk. They were sitting. He just
fell over.
Yeah.
Like some people we know.
Right? And he just fell over.
So he said, and he lived to talk about it. He mm-hmm. should be like, I have a new lease on life.
Yes.
I'm going to get sober.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to
start working. I'm going to stay with them cliffs.
Right. I'm going to, you know, maybe give more to charity. I'm going to, you know, get my life in order.
But they went, they're obviously a tight group if they were hanging out all night and they went to, and there's nothing wrong with having a couple of drinks. They weren't driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, they went to a walk place and they wanted to hang out and watch the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sure we've all done that at one point or another.
Right. But why is the impulse then to sue? If I'm
America.
If I fall off a cliff, I'm not going to sue you, Jaquetta.
Sue the cliff. That's what I mean. You can't sue a cliff. I guess that's the problem.
Yeah, but what if we're all friends, you know, and
you fall,
I'm gonna obviously sue you.
and you can.
The
court ruled that it's okay because when they took time to try to look for him first, and they're saying that they were being negligent.
The court?
Mm-hmm. The court is saying that her friends were being negligent.
Was the court drinking at the time?
I don't
to this decision.
The court fell off the cliff as well. I find it so bizarre.
That is bizarre. That is just
that
the lack
a
of
schmuck.
Reason. The lack of reason. Everybody involved in
yes.
this, except for the people who actually called 911
yes.
and looked for him, they must be stunned. Like,
because,
I don't even know.
Like, once again, there's no crime against being. They weren't on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. But it's like they were just drunk and they decided to sit down.
Yeah. And
watch the sunset.
You weren't
and
hurting
this
anybody.
Asshole somehow fell off a cliff. That's hard to do sitting.
Yeah.
Like, was he like, hey, what's down there? And then he was down there. And then they're looking like, fuck, Jim is gone.
And they're like, oh, look at the purples in there.
You know, they're probably thinking that we should have left his ass down there.
Yeah.
We should have gotten sued.
Right.
Should be like, we were drunk. So that's my, hey, you didn't know it. Hey, you didn't know it. It's okay to fall off a cliff and sue the people you're with. Yeah, so the next time you get drunk and watch the sunrise, make sure everyone's strapped down.
Yeah.
Or a lawyer is present, or waivers have been signed.
Right. Bring a waiver. I'm going to bring waivers with me wherever I go, make everyone sign.
I can't think of how many times when I was younger we were drunk and somebody tripped and fell or did something stupid.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know, I guess I could have been liable.
I when I was in California, I went out to dinner with a couple of people, and I insisted after dinner that I must put my feet in the ocean.
Is the ocean liable?
The ocean, well, there's a stretch of beach and these big rocks that were kind of unstable. And so...
at the time, were you like, man, this is unstable?
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is unstable. And I'm like, this is a bad idea. And
but the social lubricant.
Yeah, I was like, but I just need to do this, and I'm only feet away.
Yeah. From death.
And so I was being cheered on by the other ones. Go do it. Go get your feet wet.
Meanwhile, they're like at a safe distance.
Yeah, basically. And I got my feet wet, but all the time they were just like, be careful. I was doing it on my own. Now, yeah. I fell and cracked my head.
You could have sued him.
I could have sued him. Yeah. Yeah. But I did not, and I would not.
Well, there's nothing else to sue. I mean, the sunset obviously isn't liable.
The water's not
Rock's
liable.
Rock's not liable.
Right.
State of California. Clearly, the people who were there are some. So I guess the implication here is that those people are somehow responsible for that guy because they said they took him to that cliff. I'm like, no, he went to that cliff freely.
They went together. They didn't drag him. They didn't
bind
him.
Even if they said, hey, we're going to this spot, do you want to know where it is?
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
No.
It's like if I take you to a restaurant and you get food poisoning, it's like, well, Jaquetta pointed out this spot.
Yeah.
So clearly
now
liable.
I own her house.
Yes. Anyway, so hey, you didn't know it. Watch out. You can be sued for anything.
Jeez.
All right, what do you got?
Unreal.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, I have Tales from the Campfire.
Excellent. Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find stories on the internet of folklore, fake lore,
myth,
legend, stories of the paranormal, ghost stories.
Yes.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire.
So gather around, listeners. Gather around. This one's called My Shadow People.
Oh, no. Is this actually about the shadow people that we know about already?
No. Well, it's written by Spirits Everywhere 0425.
Okay. So in the past, we've reported on shadow people and also shadow animals.
Right. And shadows, that's basically what a shadow person is.
A shadow, you see something out of the corner of your eye. It's fleeting.
It's like a kind of a black figure, and it's almost like a human figure, but you can't really see.
It may have red eyes.
And
it may
have a hat.
May have a hat.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
And it's very fleeting. It's just like, is it something that may be a little bit darker than even the room?
And then we also shadow creatures. We decided you just need an exterminator.
Right. Okay. So Spirits Everywhere 0425 writes, I wanted your thoughts on something. I have several.
Who? It's just the
internet.
Community. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I have several experiences, but I want to know if the shadow people are what is haunting my house.
Okay. Or something else.
Right. One night, my mom came into both mine and my brother's rooms. Apparently, her and my stepfather saw something crawling on the floor and thought it was one of us.
Mm-hmm. What?
Is that? It's so scary. Right off the bat.
I mean, all right.
Was that you crawling on the ground like a child? All right. I share a room with my little sister, and she likes to sleep with my mom, so my mom was checking on her more than me. Of course, we were all laying down, and my brother didn't get up because I would have seen him since our rooms are right across from each other.
And you keep your doors open?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Which I read is something that says shadow people can crawl on the floor? I don't think
that's
so.
Not they don't, whatever. That's not a shadow person.
And also around 3 a.m. Right? I woke up and my legs were vibrating. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
You got the case of the Jimmy legs.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I kept moving because when I moved, the vibrating stopped. But after moving about two times, something gently hit me in the head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was like, stay still. Quit moving around.
This also happened twice before I decided to go to my mom's room. She doesn't like hearing about me seeing ghosts or else she gets upset, so I keep it to myself. Well, anyways.
Do you mean she gets upset? Okay, whatever.
This next sentence here. Okay, well, anyways, she was feeding my cousin's baby in her bed with only her phone flashlight on to see. So she goes, so now this kid is in bed, they got the case of the Jimmy legs, got hit in the head by something.
Yes.
goes to the mother's room who's feeding the cousin.
Okay.
With a flashlight. Okay. I went over and laid next to the baby. Soon afterwards, a blackish-gray hand came from the other side of me and waved, like, saying, hello, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
I started bawling and my mom prayed for me, but I was wondering if you thought this was a shadow person. No.
See, you know what? I guess religion is a lot freakier than I thought.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this, but there was no mention of ghosts.
Right. No, we never talked
Everything
about
Everything was very pedestrian.
Yeah. Like, it was the god of the thing.
That's yeah, but there was no supernatural or paranormal aspect to it, because that was considered to be hocus pocus.
Yeah, it was god, devil, angels, demons.
But not real angels. You know what I mean? It was like concept.
Yes.
Angels. Like, right. There was no, like, if we were to ask questions about the devil and be like, well, the whole thing with the pointy tail and the pitchfork is just like
good
a way
evil,
to visualize
concept,
it.
Yes.
Yeah. But this is getting real.
This is getting real, right? So, all it seemed to want to do is scare us. I will poach blah, 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 blah. Thanks for reading this. Frankly,
next thing I know.
All right. It seems it wanted to scare us. I will post future stories on the experience, definitely. Bye. Thanks for reading this. Please let me know as soon as possible.
I'm going to say the prognosis here is negative.
Yeah.
It's something crawling on the floor.
It's not a shadow person.
I don't know what it is, but that's not a shadow person.
Gray hands coming out from behind a baby?
No. Shadow people appear in the margins.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right. If something like that is something scary.
It's weird. And then, here's the thing.
It's like Japanese horror.
Yes. It's Korean or Japanese.
Yeah.
So the child mentioned something about a ghost, mm-hmm. and then you freak them out by saying, I'll pray?
Yeah.
That, to me, is scarier.
Yeah.
Because that means that, like, yeah, there's ghosts.
She's seeing something,
yeah.
too.
Yes.
She's crying, because she says, you know, whenever I talk to my mom about that, she gets upset.
That's creepy.
So something is going on in that place. And some of the comments here, frankly, it sounds like your mom believes, but is in denial, because from what you wrote, it sounds like she sees them, too. I don't know what religious background your mother or you have, but it can be even more of a reason for her denial.
I always thought religion and paranormal were on opposite ends of the spectrum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about.
Like, those that you can't, like, there are people who believe in religious stuff.
Yeah.
And then there are people who believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
And the two don't seem to, like...
Right, because the ghost stuff, it's like what, you know, then the church has to come up with a whole explanation.
Yeah. Or some churches do.
Some churches
do. The Catholic Church does.
The Catholic Church does the whole exorcism thing. But that's only a certain group of priests that are allowed to, and they go through a big whole thing.
But Protestants are like, dude, that's why we broke away.
Yeah. We don't need
like
that.
Like, shit was getting weird.
Yeah. Right. It's if your mother is really seeing them, she might be just as frightened as you are.
Great. Thank you.
So I'm feeling comfortable now.
Whatever happened to parents just comforting their child?
Yeah. Not just, like, crying, being
freaking
like,
them out.
Please tell me you were crawling on the floor. Please, yes. Dear God.
Don't ever go into a child's room and be like, were you over in the corner with a hat on a few seconds ago, with a sign, waving it around, talking about, woo, was that you?
Was that your dismembered ham,
yes.
gray head, waving at the behind the baby? Was that, that had to be you.
That had to be you.
Oh, God.
Were you standing over yourself earlier? No?
No.
That's freaking kids out.
The kids are now like, what's going on? And
yes.
The mother is probably, like, taking, you know, Valium on the regular because she is like, I can't.
That was never, like I said, I grew up in a very religious environment, but stuff like that, people were like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Like, next.
Yeah. Oh, so you heard something, you saw something.
And as a result, that thing wasn't seen again, right?
Right. 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 Right.
Now it's been kind of dispelled.
This thing moved by itself.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
It did not.
Oh, you're like, oh, wait,
no,
you're right.
It was a dog.
Yeah.
It gets up on its own.
There's also gravity. I don't know. Things happen.
Right, right.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, but that one sounds like they're terrified.
They are. Were you crawling on the floor? That's
okay.
Gross. Anyway. I don't like that one at all. That's kind of creepy. Mm. Weird. Yes, I'm glad I grew up around some very pragmatic...
Like,
no nonsense-y type people.
Listeners, this is, if you like books, we already talked about,
If you can read.
You can read, you might enjoy this one. This is from another friend of ours, D.B. Gillis.
Oh, I just downloaded that book.
Yes, D.B. Gillis is a playwright and author. He is fantastic. We may have him on the show sometime, maybe. If we can get him in here.
He's actually tall.
He has a new,
a very small studio.
He has a new ebook out. It's called Paris Time. And it is a Paris Time travel novel. The premise is four people are transported from the present back in time to Paris 1889. Only one comes back, leaving the other three stranded in the City of Light with no way to return.
Woo. And not a bad time period, though.
No, not at all. In the Paris at that time. Yeah. Is that the Moulin Rouge era?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's on, I'm thinking windmills. It's on Kindle. It's $2.99. Totally worth it, listeners.
The cover's very exciting.
Yes.
I downloaded it. I have not read it yet, though.
Yes. Well, go ahead and download that. $2.99. Again, it's called Paris Time. By D.B. Gillis, and it's fantastic.
Ooh, we'll put a link up as well so you can find it. So here's some Bateman news. Can I get an intro?
Yes. Jason Bateman is an actor who is decent. We are not in love with him, and we're not sexually attracted to him in any way, shape, or form.
No, not at all, really.
But since, you know, as we said, he is decent, we like to report on him from time to time. So this is The Week in Bateman.
Yeah, so I found this interesting. Jason Bateman to star and direct in big screen FBI farce.
Farce. This whole thing is a farce.
So the role was originally for Steve Carell, but he's out.
What?
And it was originally going to be at Warner Brothers. They're out.
Get out.
So now instead of Warner Brothers and Steve Carell, it's Jason Bateman and Universal. Storyline is reminiscent of, you'll like this one, Adam Sandler's 2007, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh, get out.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Was it good? Of course I saw it.
It wasn't offensive.
It was Kevin James and Adam Sandler.
Which is a two-straight
And they had to marry each other.
For benefits?
For, yeah, insurance benefits. Okay.
So it's based, not based, it's reminiscent of that. But this time, they're FBI agents who use their wedding to trap the mob.
Trap the mob?
I guess that's what the mob is doing now. The mob is busting in on weddings. Gay weddings.
What?
In addition to changes in the star of the studio, it's got a new writer. It's a whole different movie now. It probably started off as like a seedy mystery novel.
It's like, I like the idea. Yeah, get rid of the star, get rid of the studio, get rid of the script.
Get rid of the story, get rid of the characters, get rid of everything, and make it Adam Sandler's movie, but different.
Yes. Perfect. We'll take it.
So instead of the guy who wrote Boardwalk, instead of the gentleman who wrote Boardwalk Empire and Field of Dreams, it's now going to be rewritten by a guy who wrote John Leguizamo's Sane Show, Freak.
Mm. Okay.
Not only is Jason Bateman starring and directing, he's producing.
Oh. Jeez.
Along with James Garavante with their production company Aggregate.
Seems is he that, ready for that?
I guess so. Right. Look, if he doesn't write, produce, and direct, he ain't going to be in anything. Yeah. Have you seen that? No one's casting him anymore. It's just him.
Yeah, well.
He's making his own work.
And we're helping him.
Yes. And he says, as opposed to, this is a Bateman quote, as opposed to Ron Howard's career, which is exclusively directing and producing, no acting, and like Favreau's career and Peter Berg's career, where it's mostly directing, I think more realistically, I'd like it to be more like George Clooney's career or Ben Stiller's career or Ben Affleck's career as far as splitting the time between acting and directing. Wow, he's getting pretty...
Well, he's specific. So that's the career you're going after.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be the next George Clooney, Ben Stiller, Ben Affleck.
Oh,
but I know. He's the Week in Bateman, people. It might be the Week in something else.
So he just wants to write, produce, act, and direct.
Yes.
Then why did he just say that? Why does he have to say it's like Peter Berg?
But that's so unlike I like Peter Berg. An actor to say that they want to direct. You know, this is fresh. So. I'm shocked by hearing an actor say that they want to also direct.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Not me. So that's pretty much what he is working on. Jon Favreau just did a movie.
Yeah.
And I can't look at him.
You have a problem.
And I can't look at him with a very attractive woman standing next to him. Either,
no.
It's just not
it's
a
it's like, I don't believe it.
It's a Family Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no thanks.
I don't believe anything that's coming out of your
mouth. I don't believe anything. You say, I don't. What did you do to get that woman?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, no.
And I want to see his movie, but I can't look at him.
Sure. I agree.
I can't look at him.
Did you watch when he, the... Table of 4-5?
No, because he was in it.
Yeah.
I watched the first movie that he was in, Swingers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't look at you now. I know I'm not going to be able to look at you in 15 years.
He was in Rudy.
Didn't watch it.
Oh, Rudy's a great movie.
Largely because, you know, he was in
it. But you'll like him in that, because...
It's true with Ben Affleck. I didn't like Ben Affleck, and then I saw him in Extract, and I thought it was funny.
Yes.
But I'm not going to go back and mine his... His career for like pictures.
Rudy is a wonderful movie.
So that is our Week in Bateman.
It's wonderful.
Jason Bateman, an actor who also wants to direct.
fresh and exciting.
Yes, a gem.
I bet you that acting experience will bring something to the direction.
You think so?
Maybe.
Maybe his co-stars will say, you know what? It's great to work with a director who also has been on the other side of the camera.
Because he understands.
Yeah, because he understands how it works.
Yeah. I got here unpopular science.
Unpopular science and mechanics is we are terrified of the coming robopocalypse.
That's right.
And all that it has to offer.
Everything new.
Yeah, so we want to know what's new and how we can squash it.
All right. Now, they're going to come at us from all angles, and it's not necessarily...
They're already coming at us from the countertops.
All right. But this is self-healing concrete could rid sidewalks of cracking.
Huh?
Self-healing concrete.
No!
Okay.
Researchers, what if I want that crack to be there?
From the Delft Technical University in the Netherlands have created a self-healing concrete that may be available within, by 2015.
Okay.
2015, everything is happening.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Korea's got that robot park, the itchy and scratchy land.
Yeah. What?
Remember we reported on... The robotic itchy and scratchy land.
Oh my God. Let's see. Concrete is the most popular building material, but it's prone to cracking. Concrete cracks for a number of reasons, including temperature fluctuations that make the concrete expand and shrink.
Personal issues. Trauma.
Stress on concrete creates micro cracks that do not directly weaken, but allow water to seep in and damage the concrete.
It's not called stress fractures for nothing.
Right.
Though.
The water seeps in and then it degrades the concrete over time.
It feels bad about itself.
It's inexpensive to install. Concrete is inexpensive to install, but maintaining it is expensive.
Okay.
You've got to keep doing stuff.
And New York doesn't.
That's right. So help decrease repair costs, they're trying to make this, make a mix of bacteria spores.
Stop.
Yep.
Why?
With nutrients that are activated by water. So they're going to mix the bacteria spores within the
concrete.
There's
going to be concrete everywhere.
Right.
It's going to be growing like weeds.
Right. So bacteria in walls?
I don't know.
Not at all.
Doesn't sound like a good idea
right.
to me.
So activated by water. So the water hits the bacteria. They feed on the calcium lactate to make calcite.
You bet. I just put a hole in that wall yesterday so I could put something there. No one's gone.
Yeah.
All the paintings are on the floor.
What about glory holes?
Oh, see?
You got to watch
yourself.
Wow. Watch yourself.
You got to be fast. You gotta be fast. Third stall.
Jersey Turnpike is gonna be.
Move quickly.
So it can go in. Let's see. The outdoor test is underway. They're monitoring it.
What does it say?
Their theory is microcracks occur in concrete. Rainwater will seep in, activate the bacteria, and fill the cracks.
All right.
But I think living bacteria within the walls.
It doesn't sound good to me at all.
No, we're going to all come out with, like, black lung or something.
Yeah, something's
like
weird about
some
that.
Some kind of, not black lung, that's from coal, but...
concrete
something
lung.
Else is going to happen to the human race with all this bacteria growing.
What if it gets into other things as bacteria?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just imagine things keep sealing themselves. Like, I'll open a door and the whole thing will be just, the room will be full with concrete.
Right.
I'll be like, Katie, are you in here?
Oh, my God, I'm over here. Here, over in the corner.
The mic's still on. I can't get out.
Or you open the door and you walk out, you go back to find the door,
it's
shut.
It's gone. It's sealed.
It's sealed. And I'm stuck inside.
Because that bacteria was not having it.
Yeah. And I'm here with a mic. And I'm like, Jaquetta.
But just keep recording.
Yes.
Just keep recording. We have 45 minutes. Just go. I'll edit that out.
And then the bacteria senses that the room is empty. It needs to fill it.
Ugh. I don't like the idea of it.
Anyway, that's what's happening, people.
All right, cool.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
And he's also, he's the star, the producer, and the director. He's approaching like Orson Welles territory.
He's the
one man show.
He's key grip. He's Harold Hecuba.
Yes. I want him to go Eddie Murphy and be all the characters.
Yeah. That's the next thing that he's going to do. Nobody does all the roles like Jason Bateman.
Like Jason Bateman? You mean like Eddie Murphy?
No, I'm saying like that was what people will
say.
That's
what people will say, yeah. He started off just doing one role at a time.
Yeah, but now...
Now he does the whole thing. Have you seen he does a one-man Hamlet? To die for.